Hello, good afternoon from Shalom Rakhoda, Shared Kolvi and Adaf. Today we're going to discuss the Gemara in Chulin Vav Amud Bei Zayin Amud Aleph on the status of Beit Sha'an. And the Gemara says over here, Chulin Vav Amud Bei. Hey, Rabbi Shor ben Zeres ben Cholim Shav Melech Nei Rabbi, Rabbi Meir Shachol Allah Shel Yerek Bei Sha'an. Vehiti Rabbi Es Bei Sha'an Kul Al Yodoy. They testified in front of Rebbe, that Rebbe Meir ate in Olah Shel Yerek, he ate a leaf of vegetable without being mafer shum and meiser, and based on that, Rebbe was mater the whole Beit Sha'an to consider it chutz laretz. Chavra of Achav Beis Aviv, okay, that's all discussion, how we can do such a thing in a place that everyone was knowing Yisr, he's knowing Keter, so he says, okay, Mokum Nikhla Vezes Gadabar, okay, that's not important for our subject. Then the Gemara says, "Matkiflo and Zayin Amud Aleph. Matkiflo, have you read of Shimon Pasi? Umikla mandamah Beis Sha'an lav meretz Yisraeli. Is there anyone who holds that Beis Sha'an lav meretz Yisraeli? But see, it says, 'Vlorish Menashe is Beis Sha'an v'zvenoseh.' Menashe did not capture Beis Sha'an, so obviously Beis Sha'an is part of Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara says, 'Ishtamitze, he forgot. Adam of Shimon and Yotam Shimon blows from Pedos, Shimon blows from Shemua. Habek Rachem Kvashim Olam Mitzrayim Vlo Kvashim Olam Bob." So a lot of krochim that Olam Mitzrayim captured by Svishon, but Olam Bavel didn't, and Chachamim left these for the poor people that they should have what to eat during the Shemitah years when there's no produce. That's the Gemara. In a nutshell, so first of all, Pasha Chat, we bring the Pasuk, and Manasseh didn't capture Beit Sha'an. So what's the question? So it's in the territory of Eretz Yisrael, but if they didn't capture it, so it's not Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. So what does that help? So the Chazon Ish right away says that that's true in the days of Yeshua. But we have Pesukim and Melachim that later on, Shlomo HaMelech, all those cities that they didn't capture, Shlomo HaMelech may have put them in Mas, and he put in taxes, and therefore it is considered Kibush. So the Gemara is just proving that it's in the geographical boundaries of what they were supposed to capture. We know that in the end they captured it, but this pasuk shows us in the geographical boundaries. They also bring a pasuk by in Melachim that Shlomo HaMelech had 12 Netzivim, and one of them had the whole Netziv of Beit Sha'an, although that could be all around Beit Sha'an, not necessarily Beit Sha'an city in particular, but that's the Chazon Ish. The question over here that we're going to focus on, and we're not going to go into over here the halachic issue of what Chachamim were matter and what they weren't. In other words, it's a little paradox over here. On the one hand, we say it's Chutz Laretz, so if it's Chutz Laretz, there's no Shemitah. And there's no Shemitah, and therefore, there'll be Maiserani for the poor people to eat. So, if it's chutzars, then why should there be maaserani? And that is the whole discussion over here. Tosfos and others showed them exactly what they were matter, what they weren't. We will not discuss that. We're going to try to discuss the historical aspect of Beit Sha'an, the way we know it, and the halachic implications then, and the halachic implications with Zman Hazeh as well. Now, the big question, and the first one to ask the question, is Rabbi Yaakov Emden in his Agos over here. He asked a question from a text in Megillas Tainis. Megillas Tainis is a Megillah quoting all the days that were made into Yom Tovim, Bizman by Shani, when good things happened. And it's probably one of the oldest texts that we have of any, if you call it Torah Sheval Peh, but of any Jewish source written, other than, of course, Torah Shevachsav. So we have over here a quote from Megillas Tainis. V'chamisha asabei v'shitza asabei golo anshei Beit Sha'an v'anshei Bukata. On the 15th and on the 16th of the month, the people of Beit Sha'an went to Golos, and it goes on to explain, Gavri yavosh chashmonoi v'iglu osam v'osa ayom sheiglu osam asu yomta. Shesimchu lefnei hamakash v'chusam me'akam v'olam. That, they made a celebration on the 15th of the month. I don't remember exactly which month it is. Over there in Megillas Tainis, we'll have to check it out. But they made a celebration that they captured Beit Sha'an in the days of Chashmonaim, and they ousted the Goyish population. So Rabbi Yaakov Emden asks, how could you say that in Bayis Sheni they did not capture Beit Sha'an, when here in Megillas Tainis we see clearly that they did? That is the question that he asks. And and in essence, his answer is that it's true that he captured it, but they didn't hold on to it until the time of the Churban. They didn't hold on to it until the time of the Churban, and because of that, it lost its kedusha. That's in essence the idea of Rabbi Yaakov ben Dinavi. The Tumos Haaretz in Daf page Chof Chof Aleph goes by Riches against what we just saw from Yaakov ben Dinavi, and he doesn't talk about the Gosh Rebbe Akiven, which probably weren't printed in his days, but he attacks the Marek Tzio in Simon Shin Shin Zayin, which is the same author of Rebbe Akiven, Marek Tzio, and that the whole idea that Kibush Ole Bavel includes the conquest of the Chashmonaim, he rejects that idea. He brings all types of riots and that what happened in the days of Hashmonaim does not add or subtract to the status of these places. Only, in a nutshell, that's the line that he sums up. Elavada hekla v'hakol tole b'kibush Ezra v'izdinam shakol amikayim shakav shu higdish shakamash matan of Yeshua chedmash nechbash achakach lo yorav lo yazik v'kol yavar amach. But the bottom line is, it all depends on what happens in the days of Ezra. What was captured in the days of Ezra is Eretz Yisrael. What was not captured in the days of Ezra is not Eretz Yisrael. And it doesn't matter just because the Chashmonaim went and captured Beit Shan later on. That's not going to change the status of Beit Shan. That's the way it is. Now, he already points out the month of Sivan. The month of Sivan we're talking about, the 15th. The 14th, sorry, the 15th and the 16th of Sivan, 2 days of Megillas Tainis. He already points out that his idea is against the case of Mishnah. And Mishnah here, where the Rambam talks about the Rambam in Hilchos Shmita Yovel Perek Dalet Halach Kuf Ches Evra Yarden Shmita is Nahag is Bava Divrei and Evra Yarden Shmita is Nahag Mujabanan and the Svichim Evra Yarden the Rambam says Amutar, these lands cannot be more chomer than the lands that only Mitzrayim or Machzik and not only Bava, the way there's no Svichim. Comes along the Ravid, he says Evra Yarden Marchich Levim and Kal Vachomer Halachzik Vali Bava. He says, what does he have to bring Kal Vachomer in order to say, to explain why, to prove why there's no speech on Eber Yarden? It's pushed because Ole Bavel didn't capture Eber Yarden. If they didn't capture Eber Yarden, then there's no speech. Why does he have to come and bring it from Kal Vachomer? It can't be any less than pure, proper Eretz Yisrael that Ole Bavel didn't capture. If they didn't capture it, then there's nothing to discuss. But the case of Mishnah over there says, I don't have the quote over here in front of me. The Kesef of Mishnah says,
it means the Gemara Kedushin Perkaima that Yana captured Shishamir Bekachla Shabamidbar, which is Abraham Yardin, and interesting that the Kesef Mishnah knew that, it's Abraham Yardin. So you see, you had kings like Yanai who captured Abraham Yardin. So who says that they didn't capture? Says who says that Ole Bavel didn't capture Eber Yarden? You see that Yanai captured. So what you see clear from there, from the case of Mishnah, is that if Yanai captured, he considers the kibush Ole Bavel. There's nothing to discuss. Now the Tuzas already refers to this case of Mishnah. Now, he argues with him, but he refers to this case of Mishnah. We can even say furthermore, even according to us, arts, there's no evidence that Bnei Yisrael didn't sit in the Eivar Yarden in the times of Ezra either. Now, in Ezra, it mentions certain territories, but that doesn't necessarily mean it ruled out other territories, as much as Yehuda and Yamin. But there is evidence of Jewish population in Eivar Yarden. I can't say from the Persian period, but a little later, yes. Okay, we'll leave that open. But anyway, the Kesef Mishnah clearly holds that was captured from the time of Chashmonaim has Kedusha Eretz Yisrael, unlike the Tuas Aretz. Now, the Tuas Aretz brings many riyas where he proves that what happens afterwards doesn't make a difference, unlike the Rabbi Yaakov Emden, that if they lost it later on, it still remains with Kedusha. Otherwise, he says, this is a very interesting thing, he says, in the time of Yisheni Hebron, was in the hands of the Edomites. So what's that going to end up? That the Avos are buried in a place that's Chutzlaretz. Good, I mean, this is the Kashi, you know, if the status is going to change, so what, so we're going to move the Avos because the status changed? But that's his question. And once he says the fact is that you have all these areas that later on, the end of Bayesheni, we know from Josephus, that they were not, you know, owned by Jews, and still they considered Eretz Yisrael a Choldava. So you see that what happens afterwards doesn't make a difference. That is his line. Now, if we want to use a little of the scientific research to see what we can get out from that, we're going to go to the famous mosaic floor from the shul in Rehov. Rehov is a tell south of Beit Shan, and in the fields near Rehov, near Kibbutz Ein Hanativ, about 30 years ago, close to 40 years ago, they found a mosaic floor from the days of the Byzantine period, 5th, 6th century. That's the time that a lot of shuls in the area had mosaic floors, but most of the mosaic floors found all had drawings, usually even on Kodesh, a shofar, a lulav, and stuff like that, zodiac symbols, seasons, Tanakh scenes. But here, what's very interesting is that this, all it has is texts. It has texts from Brisos. So it's in essence the earliest Torah Shebaal Peh that we have written over here appears on these brises over here. And what is it discussing over here on the floor of the shul? And by the way, it wasn't just on the floor, it was also on the walls also. And the plaster is from the walls has finally been assembled. Take a while until they publish it, but I think it's been 40 years since. But the guy told me that he's advancing on the subject. It has a list of the fruits and vegetables that are mutter and osur in Beit Shan. So the obvious is, a person is living in Beit Shan, and Rebbe is mater Beit Shan. The question is, you're going to the market, which of the produce that you find in the market came from Beit Shan and is part of Shavuos, and which of the produce came from elsewhere and was brought to Beit Shan and you have Shavuos issues. So it has a list of all these fruits and vegetables, and it has a list of the boundaries of Beit Shan, which we're going to talk about later. And it has the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael. And the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael, Tchumei Eretz Yisrael, Makom Shechziku Olei Bavel. It brings the Tchumei Eretz Yisrael, that Olei Bavel and Machzik, and it goes through a whole list of the boundaries. And we're not going to go into the full details of how we map out these boundaries. Halei and Ksuvim on the Shadenstein Yerushalmi Shvius, Volume 2, in the back. Yours truly made some maps over there with his personal revolutionary ideas to show what the boundaries are. But it goes to list a whole bunch of these boundaries, and in essence saying that these are the boundaries of Joe, what's Chayiv and Chum and Mais and Shavuos. And it mentions over here, Varekem Trachon Zimra de Mitcham Lebotzra. Now the Trachon is the territory called in the Chumash called Chevel Hargov, Chol HaBashan, Chevel Hargov, in Pashas Tvarim, the Targum says Plach Trachona. The Trachon is the Choran, which is east of the Golan today, and Jews live there. Even in modern times, Jews try settling there. Van Rothschild bought thousands of dunams of land over there, still technically belongs to us, even though it's in the Syrian hands. And well, what do we know about this Trachon? So if we look in Josephus, it seems that the first time that this Trachon became part of a Jewish settlement, the Jewish state, is only a time of Hardus. Not even in a time of Chashmonai. It's only a time of Hardus. Now, Hardus was a king who ruled, he was a vassal king who ruled under the Romans, and the Romans gave him territories, whatever, and they gave him this area. And Josephus tells us, I don't have the exact source offhand, Josephus tells us that, I think it's in the Gittin Shir that I gave on Rechem the Mizrach, I think we have it over there. Rechem the Mizrach we spoke about in the beginning of Gittin, that this is the Rechem, not the Rechem of Petra in the south, but this is the Rechem over here. So Rechem Shrachon Zimra, Zimra was the name of a person that Hordus settled in the Trachon area. So if it's the name of a guy, it's obviously it can't be an earlier thing than the days of Hordus. You know, Rechem Shrachon. And so we see over here that even stuff that was added to the Jewish state by the time of Hardus is also considered within the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael. That's what would seem from this Brisa of Tchumen, which has been analyzed by Talmidei Chachamim and scholars to try to figure out the dating of this or whatever. But it clearly seems from here that was added even the days of Hurdus is considered Kedusha Eretz Yisrael. So the approach of the Tvuas Haaretz is hard to accept. We have to go towards the approach of the Rabbi Yaakov Emden, which he said that they didn't hold on to it and therefore the Kedusha didn't remain. But we have the question. So Tvuas Haaretz asked him, so they didn't hold on to Hebron as well. So why is that Eretz Yisrael? So what we want to say over here is, as they say in the Shibush thing, it's very dinim. There's two dinim over here, and they're actually, the conquest, as we said, even later conquest is also considered. But that conquest is not permanent. The conquest of Ezra is permanent conquest. Whatever Ezra was Makadesh, that's that even if Jews will lose it later on, it'll still remain with the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. But stuff that was captured during the Hashmonai period and later on, that stuff that has temporary kedusha. While Jews own it, it has the kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. But if they lose it, then it doesn't have kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. That's the general idea, and which would also explain how such a thing can happen. And was if they never captured by Sheni Beit Sha'an, how would it ever come to be that the people were meistering in Beit Sha'an? There had to be a time when they started Meisrin for whatever reason. So there was a good reason to Meisrin when the Jews were there. But when the Jews weren't there, then there was still Meisrin. Comes along Rebbe and says, you know, I have Edus. Rebbe Meir, you know, didn't hold like that. But anyway, the bottom line is, although this is not direct in the Gemara, it definitely seems that the status of these cities depended on the population at that time. Meaning, the Rebbe is matter this city. The reason why he's matter this city is because it's non-Jewish population. And I was with the thing they didn't capture all of that, but the fact is, it's non-Jewish population bismat. That has to do with it. And so, first of all, let's talk a little about Beit Sha'an proper. How much of Beit Sha'an is part of Kedusha Men Meisim? And this is a very interesting story. They say for Admas Kodesh, which came out about 100, 110 years ago, Rabbi Yitzchak Goldhar has over there Chashim Askamas, Rav Kook, Rabbi Yitzchak Zellfeld, the Ridbaz, if I remember correctly, and the son of Rabbi Shalev Diskin. So, yes, okay. So he pages over there, 221, 222, he says like this. He comes up with this brilliant idea. And the brilliant, this is the years when the Shemitah issue became a big problem, requiring a solution. Suddenly Jews have agriculture in the country. What do we do with the Shemitah issue? Which eventually led to the story of the Hetzer Mechira, etc. So he came up with the idea. His idea was, when we say Beit Sha'an, what do we mean Beit Sha'an? Do we mean Beit Sha'an the city? I mean, who plants inside the city? So it means the confines of the city, around it. So he says, around it, it means the whole valley of Beit Sha'an. And therefore, he starts measuring to the north, to the south, to the east, to the west. He says it's Klar, and the east is to the Yarden, which is about 5 kilometers away, and the west, whatever. He gives you a whole valley of 213 square kilometers. And he says, 213 square kilometers, all of this, we can solve the problem. We can solve the problem of the Moshavot. All of this is part of Shemitah, and we don't need any Hetem here. We don't need anything because it's part of Shemitah. Okay, who argued on this idea? The Chazon Ish, of course. And the Chazon Ish doesn't refer to the Admas Kodesh by name. But in Shmiya Simon Gimel, Steve Cotton, you test. Nira Shiloh Nicho Alebab Lakrachim Shinicho Elak Rachim Utchumon Velo Yotze. Shabikoshi Hinichum Kadeshism Chalem and Nimish Shmiyas. They weren't generous about being mad to everything around it. And therefore, the only thing they were mad to was Beit Shan. I will also other people say, "Chutz Tchuma," not the fields around it, outside the Tchuma. Of course, there's nothing to discuss about 12 kilometers away, which obviously he's referring to the Admas Kodesh. For some reason, it doesn't mention my name. Shevetan Yudzen Yudbez Kilo Medechol Ruach Yashetach Kovdalat Al-Kovdalat Abtur V'shazah Yorabah Yorosh Harber V'tefasta Mu'ulah Tefasta Emel B'shan Atchuma. And then he goes on. Vav Shekorim Bikas B'shan and so it is on Petur. In fact, that's called the value of B'shan. Doesn't mean that that's included in Petur. V'gam Ika B'shan Yerushal Asimov Al Hashem. He says even the names halachically don't make a difference to us because it could be the city was destroyed and they settled in another place, etc. So how do we know? So therefore the Chazon Ish nixes this whole idea of absolving Beit Shan Valley from Shvi'is. He just nixes the idea from all points. Now, what's interesting is that the territory of Beit Shan is mentioned in the Yerushalmi in Demai, in the beginning of Perek Beis. Ad Heichon, we're in Perek Beis Halacha Aleph. Ad Heichon, where's Beit Shan? And it gives a whole list of places, which don't really tell us much. But when we get to the Rehov Mosaic, which we can say the Rehov Mosaic is from those days proper, and it didn't undergo changes like copying mistakes and stuff like that, where people could have, you know, we have a list of the places, and it tells us in more in detail than what we see actually in the Yerushalmi. It says, Ela Makomas Hamatom Shmir with Beit Shan. Min Adarav from the south, she peeled the campan at Chakla Chivacha, to the white field. Min Amarav, etc. Min Amizrach, she peeled the Ziblaya, Adnav Shad the Punkaya, from the east, which is the gate of the garbage, Sharash Brot, until, in other words, it has a marking on the east, and the marking is not the Yarden. It's less than the Yarden. And the assumption of the Admas Kodesh that the Yarden is the border from the east proves to be untrue, because it's clear over here that it doesn't even reach the Yarden. So we see over here from the mosaic, from the Rehov Mosaic, that the approach of the Chazon Ish was correct, and the territories of Beit Shan, it's only small areas around it and not the entire valley of Beit Shan, as the Chazon Ish said. So that's that. But the truth of the matter is, yeah, I always say when I speak at these places that I'm a very big Zionist, and I'm not talking about the status of Eretz Yisrael today, what the status of Beit Shan would be. So we have some very interesting things over here in this mosaic. Now, most of the mosaic appears in these brises, which is in the Yerushalmi Demai, which I quote. But there's some lines that don't appear over there, but we'll see that the Yerushalmi holds the same thing. And the Yerushalmi what else do we have? Well, first of all, we have Rebbe was Matir other places as well. Rebbe was Matir Kesrin, which is the city of Caesarea, and Rebbe was Matir Beit Guvrin. He was Matir Beit Guvrin. Now these three cities are known to be predominantly Roman cities. When Yaakov gives Esav a bracha in Mishmana, Azir Mashavrechem Mitzal Hashemayim Me'al, the Medrash on one of them says is the Leah Shel Yavon, and the other is Beit Guvrin. So in other words, this is what Esav got his bracha. He got Beit Guvrin. So we see that this was predominantly a non-Jewish city. The three another interesting thing that these three cities have in common is that they have amphitheaters. Amphitheaters as opposed to theaters. Theaters are for plays, which in Eretz Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael, we have about 20 of them from the Roman period. The amphitheaters are where they had gladiator fights. And this was for the Roman soldiers, and there are only four such amphitheaters in the country, and Beit She'an, Caesarea, and Beit Guvrin. Three of them, the fourth is in Shechem. So, as we said, it definitely has to do with the fact that these cities non-Jewish population. Now, what's interesting is we have other places that Hayaras Asuras, this is in the Mosaic of Rehov, but also appears in the Yerushalmi Demai reported before. Hayaras Asuras B'tchum Tzor Shetzes Uvetzes Upimotzova V'chanuta V'alisa, etc. A whole list of Hayaros that are also B'tchum Tzor. Tzor is the city of Tyre on the coast of Lebanon. Now I want to make something clear, and it seems Rishonim and later on had difficulty in identifying the Tzor because of a problem. And the problem is that the Tzor mentioned by Shlomo HaMelech, we know is an island. And Yechezkel has an unbelievable description of how all the boats used to come and what they sold to Tzor and what they bought from Tzor. It's a beautiful description. So Tzor is an island. And today, Tzor is off the coast of Lebanon. So Tosfos already, Menachas refers to some problem like that. Ain't it Tzor Matira, when he talks about the oil, he seems to be bothered by this problem. The Chazon Ish seems to be bothered by the problem. What happened was that when Alexander the Great captured Eretz Yisrael, Tzor refused to surrender. And, you know, without a navy, how is Alexander the Great going to capture Tzor? So he was smarter than that, and he put down a major landfill, and that's how he captured Tzor. And that was pretty much the end of Tzor as it's... So if you look at the map today, might even be on the map here, you can see how it juts out into the sea. The island of Tzor juts out into the sea. It's no longer an island because of what Alexander the Great did. So the Bais of the Tchumen over here lists a bunch of cities, a bunch of towns, Ayoros, in Tchum Tzor, which are Osir. Now, how does this match with the boundaries of the Bais of the Tchumen we mentioned before? Is Tchum Tzor included in the boundaries of Reis of the Tchumen? But we say that in these boundaries only these cities are also, or do the boundaries not include Tchum Tzor? We'll get back to that in a moment. The mosaic concludes V'chol makom shekanu Yisrael Nesar. Any place that a Jew buys in Tchum Tzor becomes Osir. Now, this, it is one line that it doesn't say in the Yerushalmi and Demai. In the Yerushalmi and Demai, where it brings this whole Braisa, it doesn't say this. So where did this Braisa come from? So the truth of the matter is, it's pretty clear that this comes from Yerushalmi. In other words, what I'm saying is that this Braisa over here on the floor of Shul and Rehov is not, it may not be set up in the order of the Yerushalmi, but it's not a thing that's made up. It was obviously something that was learned in the Reis Medrash. And in Yerushalmi Shviyas Perkei, Rich. Yes. Perek Vav. Halacha Aleph. Yerushalmi says like this. V'chitzar ena asur leilech l'sham. Isn't it asur to go to Tzar, meaning Tzar's chutzlaret? V'akon l'sham ena mischayev. It's like in a question. In other words, he's proving okay, that's not the way that the Pnei Moshe learns, but seeming to say that Tzar is Chutz Laretz, but Hakol Nesham, a person who buys over there, he is Chayav in Shurmas and Maestros and Shavis. And that's the way the Chazon Ish learns also as well. Chazon Ish has a whole mahalach to try to understand what makes this purchase, what this purchase, how does it trigger halachic change? But what we see over here from the price of the, from this mosaic, we see that if a Jew owns property in Tchum Tzar, it becomes Asur. And that's why we have the list of Tchum Tzar, which some of it is Chayiv in Shavis, and some of it isn't, because some of it was owned by Jews and some of it wasn't. And in the Brice of the, in the Yerushalmi Demai, we have a list of those villages of Mutter and Asr. Here we only have the places that are Mutter in the mosaic. But the mosaic says clearly that any place that Yisrael buys becomes Asr. So, in accordance with what we said, that when Chashmonaim captured something, it became Kedusha Zayat Yisrael, but it's a temporary Kedusha. It's a Kedusha that later on can be lost. So that fits with what we see over here in the Mosaic and in the Yerushalmi. That even Tchum Tzar, if a Jew will go there today and buy, he'll be Chayav in Shemitah. Regardless of, other places won't. We call Mashakon Yisrael Nesa. Now the Tzvusa, the Barak Tziyah, Simon Shin Zayin, has a whole arichus on the status of Gush Katif. A whole arichus, one of the longest tikkulach in the whole Barak Tziyah, is discussing the status of Azim. Now, I don't want to go into the whole issue of Aza because Aza in the north is different than whatever, but he brings basically a machlekes between the Maharit and the Radbaz whether Aza had Kedushas of Eretz Yisrael or not. And he brings the truth from the Radbaz that Aza is Eretz Yisrael, and he brings the Maharit testimony that in the Shemitah year they used to go and bring vegetables from Aza, so you see Aza's Chutz L'Eretz. Now, he wants to say in the end, V'loy Pliki, and that if a Jew owns territory in Gaza, then it's like Asa. But if you buy stam produce that comes from Gaza, so then it could be from a guy and whatever, and therefore you tell it that it comes from a guy. Now, it's a little hard to accept. It's a little hard to accept because, first of all, it seems that they're definitely chodek no matter what. But it's also hard to accept that the whole issue is they went to Gaza is because over there it's a suffer from a guy. If you look at the Shulchan Aruch in Chashem Mishpat, in Tav Chav Hei, in his days, there was no Jewish agriculture in the country, period. And he talks about over there, Din Ein Megadlim Bein Medaka, but surely says, this matter said doesn't apply because Jews don't have any fields. So, according to the Marat Tzir, would be the whole reason why they sent to Gaza was because over there, the produce could be non-Jewish produce. And any place closer, was Jewish produce. Any place closer was also clearly not Jewish produce. If they send over there, then it's clearly the fact that it's that they consider chutzlars. But what could be is that if they bought closer from produce from a guy, they consider that Eretz Yisrael proper, and that kedusha remains even though it's in the hands of Enkin and Biad almost El Mafkia. But Gaza, the outer areas, they already have a temporary status. If they're owned by Goyim, then it doesn't have Kedusha rights. Like Tchum Tzar. So that could be the approach. But as I said, we prefer not to get into the whole issue of the South. Some very interesting developments in recent years. I actually found the Chashmonai fortress way, way south in the Negev over there, which shows the Chashmonai control that area as well. But the point is that Yerushalmi says, and the mosaic floor in Rehov is the same, that if a Jew buys into Chumtzar, it becomes Asa. So Mamela, back to where we came from, if we're discussing the status of Beit Shaan Bezman Hazeh. So, we have the same thing. Rabbi was Mata Beit Shaan because in his days it wasn't Jewish. But today, what's owned by Jews is Nesar. There's nothing to discuss. So then the whole point that they had over there, the Chazanish and the Admas Kodesh, how big Beit Shaan was, I'm saying today, is not relevant, because if it's owned by a Jew, it becomes us. So it doesn't really make much of a difference. It's clear in the Brisa, in the Mosaic, it's clear from the Yerushalmi as well. You see the same, the Chaznish, the whole discussion, as I said, what's the status by buying it, what does it become by buying it, but you see that that's from the Yerushalmi. Now, let's take this one step further. Besides Beit Shaan, we mentioned that Rebbe was Matik Kesrin, and that's also in the Yerushalmi and Demai in Pericles. In the mosaic in Rehov, it also refers to the boundaries of Kesrin. Vadechem Sover B'Kesrin. Atzavano Pandaka Tavisa Vamuda V'Dorek V'Sabam. Yesh Mokam Shekano Ose Yisrael Choshishim La Rabbasim. So it lists a whole bunch of places, and two of the places are pretty easy to identify, Dor and Kfar Saba. Dor is north, about 12 kilometers on the coast, north of Kesaria, while Kfar Saba is about 35 kilometers south. And this would mean the whole heartland of Eretz Yisrael is Chutzlah, it's from Kesaria. What's interesting is, one of the scholars, Professor Zussman, who wrote a whole article analyzing this mosaic of Rehov, he said that's impossible. Just like in Beit Shaan, we see that the amount that's included in Beit Shaan is a small, minimal amount. So how could Caesarea be so large? We're talking about 50 kilometers. How could that all be Chutzlars? It's impossible. So therefore, he goes searching for a different Kfar Saba, which is closer to Caesarea. Now, in my opinion, he made a big mistake over here. Big mistake, small mistake. He made a mistake over here. An analysis from a bunch of reasons. If we look at the Beit Shaan boundaries, the boundaries are in the south, a white field. In the right, we have this building. In the left, we have that field. We have local, small local markers that are the edge of what Beit Shaan is. Can't compare that to the case over here where you mention a bunch of cities. That's already, a totally different ball game. That's number one. Number two, if we take Dor and Kfar Saba, we have the Mishnah and Gittin and the Brice over there that talks about the boundaries of Yehuda and the boundaries of Galil. A person gives a get to his wife, it's the end of the seventh parak, I think, or the eighth parak. He's going to Yehuda and Galil. Antipras is the northern boundary of Yehuda. And Kfar Osnai is the southern boundary of Galilee. Now, Antipras is the area of Rosh Ha'ayin today. Hordas built a city called Antipatris, named it after his father. It was called Afek in Tanakh days, and that's the source of the Arkan River. And even in the ancient times, that was the end of the Tchum of the Shamron. And we find that even in an Assyrian document, that Afek is the southern boundary of Shamron, whatever. The regions didn't change much, interestingly. The natural boundary is the Arkon River, we could say. But the Arkon doesn't cut through the whole country. It just cuts to like 30 kilometers. That's the boundary. So the southern, the northern boundary of Yehuda, the southern boundary of Shomron, is Antipatris, which is Afek. And Kfar Saba, Josephus mentions, is next to the source of the Arkon River. So in a nutshell, they're all the same place. If we go north, we mention Kfar Otnai, which is the city of Megiddo, or Legio, at the edge of the Jezreel Valley. That is the beginning of the Galil, meaning the Jezreel Valley is included in the Galil. If you draw a line straight out to the coast, you're within 4 kilometers of Dor, on a north-south axis. So in other words, the edge of the boundaries of Caesarea match what we know from the Gemara Gittin to be that buffer zone between Yehuda and Gola, meaning Shomron and Caesarea along the coast. Now, not only that, as we get into Ben HaMitzrayim, the issue, one of the issues that push came to shove that caused the Jews to revolt, was the status of who is going to call the shots in Caesarea. Who's going to be the boss? So the Jews said, this is our land. And the pagans said, Herod built the city over here purposely because this was not settled with Jews. That's what their claim was. Now that was hard to stop Tchum Caesarea, which you could say it's an interesting because it's all sand dunes and you just can't live there. And the Gemara in Megillah calls Caesarea Shoshemes Menacholos. It was unlivable until then. This whole area over there, you know, the swamps and the sand dunes was all unlivable along the coast. We don't even have any old cities, ancient cities over there in that whole territory. And he made it into a port, and he brought water, etc. He made it inhabitable. So that is Tchum Caesarea. And the Tchum Caesarea, which we have over here, the Dora and the Kfar Saba, match almost perfectly with the Antipatris boundary of Yehuda and Shomron in the south, and Kfar Adnai with Dor in the north. So we see clearly over here that this Tchum Caesarea, we're not talking about a small area of Tchum Caesarea like in Beit Shaan, but here we're talking about the larger, unlike what Professor Zussman assumed. I think it's pretty clear, Colatinus. Now, we're going to bring in one more very important point. I'm not coming over here to Paskin Shilas over here, but we have a very fascinating story in the Tosefta in Aholos, Perek Yud Ches. And Tosefta, the end of Aholos, says like this. Hey, Rav Yudah ben Yaakov in Beis Gavraya, v'Yaakov Rav Yitzchok in Beis Gufnin al Kesri shechzika b'mayor b'tiru shalem b'minyan. They testified that Kesri, they were matir Kesri to consider chutzot shalom b'minyan, meaning not that the Chacham actually sat and decided it, but they did it on their own. Am Rav Chanan, ois hoshan ha-shviyas hoysu. That year was shviyas. V'holchu ov de Chacham l'karkasah shalem. The ov de Chacham went to their circuses. And they left the market full of fruits and vegetables. Why? Because they reckoned to themselves, everyone's at the circus, so no one's going to steal. What about the Jews who don't go to the circus? For them, it's Shemitah, they don't eat this produce anyway. And Yisrael came and looted the marketplace. They stole all the fruits. When they came back, so the Goyim said, the Lashon of the Sefer is not so clear, but the Goyim says, let's go to the Chacham and find out if they were matter them to eat Chazir as well. In other words, they knew that Shemitah was so chomer to them that they wouldn't eat. If they ate their fruits of Shemitah, who knows, maybe they were matter Chazir also. I'm Rabbi Zirko. V'chamisha bad ha-sheni nimro le'asim rabos kenim v'tiru asher agon chasim teichu. In the end, Chacham agreed that Kesri has the status of Chutz La'aretz. As we saw, the Yerushalmi Demai, Rebbe was Matzah Kesri, Caesarea, as well as Beit Sha'an, and as well as Beit Sha'an and Beit Kufri. Now, this Tosefta over here is one of the most strongest writers, and I'm not coming in a pastor, that Kedusha Shviyas is not in Parashat. Because they wanted us in the first place because it's Eretz Yisrael and the fruits are grown by Goyim. You see that what's grown by Goyim has Kedusha Shviyas, which is why they didn't want to eat it, didn't want to buy it, etc. Until they're a matzah. Now this is not my Raya, this Raya is already brought way, way back. And the Chazon Ish, you know, brings it, but he says, okay, we could say that it's talking about fruits that were grown by Jews. That's the only... I'm saying, you know, he's not the first one. I'm saying it's already said before, you know. But here's where the problem comes up. Because once again, if we read the text of the Ayoras at Amutza around Kesri, Varechani Kesri, and we mentioned Dark Pasaba, V'imesh Malkam Shekano Ose Yisrael Choshim L'Rabba Seinu. Once again, if a Jew buys within Tchum Kesri, it becomes Asa, just like in Tchum Tsar, as we mentioned before. Okay? So if we're going to say that the fruits in Caesarea that the Jews didn't eat was fruits grown by Jews, so then even once they declare Kesri as Chutzlaretz, it's not going to make a difference. Because it's grown by Jews. The Jews own it. So what difference does it make? It's Chutzlaretz. So that won't resolve the problem. So I'm saying you can't give this as a teretz that it was grown by Jews. That's why it was Aser. Because then, it wouldn't, once you declare Chutzlaretz, it's not going to help anyone. Because Makom Shekano Aser Yisrael, you know, Nasser. And I tell you it's even worse, because by Tchum Tzar it says, no, it says also, Choshim Lo Rabbeinu. Rabbeinu Rechoshesh. So you see, so again, I'm not coming to Paskin Halachol Maisan. Shem Zalman, Tzatzal was buying, but last Shemitah was alive, and he was adamant that in Yishalayim there's no reason to be knowing Kishish Mirz and Beres Nachrem, and he's very strong on that. It's a Pavust, and me personally, I'm not coming to Paskin. I'm saying, you know, from this price over here. So what do we have in the end? We have in the end that Beit Sha'an, interesting story, one of the biggest Chokrei Eretz Yisrael, one of the first, I should say, in modern days, was of Historia Parchi in the 14th century. And he is the first one to notice that the Arab names in the towns preserve ancient names, and based on that, he toured the country 7 years back and forth, documenting the stuff and identifying places. And he was right 75% of the time, saying he was good. Now this person, where does he choose to live? None other than Beit Sha'an. They tell him, Rabbeinu, you love Eretz Yisrael so much, and where do you go live? You're going to live in Chutz Laretz. You're going to live in Beit Sha'an. It's enough of the Gemara over here. Chul Nev Zayin, Beit Sha'an is Chutz Laretz. That's what they told him. So what was his response? You have a capital of Racha, I don't even know if we'll be able to find it. But his opening statement, he says, Al Beit Sha'an lo dil v'nei yodim shi Eretz Yisrael, ein yitzach levasar el susim u'gmalim. To tell that Beit Sha'an is Eretz Yisrael, I don't have to tell that to the horses and to the donkeys, to the camels. Because everyone knows it's Eretz Yisrael. And then he goes through a whole arichas to explain the Gemara and Chulim why it doesn't mean that he's living in Chutz Laretz. But he says clearly, and he says in the end, even those who shepherded him about it, in the end they agreed that he's right. And he says he chose to live there because Tiberia, the Gemara says, is Tiburah Shel Eretz Yisrael, and Beit Sha'an is close to Tiberia, and that's why he chose to live in Beit Sha'an. And what's interesting with the Arab names, and this is another phenomenon since we mentioned it, by Cheney, a lot of these cities got Greek names. Like Akko became named Ptolemais, and Beit Sha'an was named Skitopolis, which is Greek names. When 1,000 years later, when the Arab conquest came, all the original names somehow returned. And in his years, he had no problem because it was called Beit Sha'an, you know, so he knew it was Beit Sha'an. So it's interesting how these names came back. We don't exactly know the phenomena, maybe. The new names were written next to the old names. We don't know, but I'm saying the names actually remain. But anyway, the Kaftar of Rech already says, living in Beit Sha'an, it's Eretz Yisrael Chol Dovar, you don't have to be Choshesh, living in Caesarea, well, of course, the big politicians who live there, you know, we're not going to say that they're living in Chutz Laretz. But anyway, so the status, Beit Sha'an, as we said, if we sum it up, it had a temporary Kedusha, because it wasn't captured in the days of Ezra, so it had a temporary Kedusha while Jews owned it, it's Eretz Yisrael, but afterwards it's considered Chutz Laretz once again, once Jews don't live there, and the Mark Tzir, it's along the lines of the Mark Tzir, though not exactly, and Bizman HaZeh, that is owned by Jews, and we see in the Yerushalmi, and we see in the Mosaic from Rehov, once it's owned by Jews, all these places that didn't have Kedusha Eretz Yisrael today, they do, so mainly that's not a solution to be matter. Shvi is based on based on this Gemara, is not going to help if the territory is owned by Jews today.